You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I'm your host, Megan Mandeville. Today we'll be speaking with Mel Griesheber, President of the International Association of Correctional Officers. Mel Griesheber currently serves as Executive Director of the Michigan Corrections Organization, a 10,000-member labor union representing correctional and forensic officers working inside Michigan's prisons and prisoner psychiatric facilities. Additionally, he is President of the International Association of Correctional Officers, a professional association that supports the advancement of the correctional officer profession and sponsors National Correctional Officers Week. A former trainer and forensic security officer for the Center of Forensic Psychiatry in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Griesheber is also a member of the American Correctional Association's Legislative Committee and the American Jail Association. He is a graduate of Eastern Michigan University and served in the U.S. Marine Corps during the Vietnam War. Today, he will talk with the Corrections Connection about working in today's prisons and jails. Welcome to today's live talk, Mel Griesheber.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Can you talk about the importance of National Correctional Officers Week, which has been taking place this week, and describe some of the activities that went on to celebrate it?
Yes, thank you. It's an opportunity to be here. I'll be talking with you. National Correctional Officers Week was established or generated by the International Association of Correctional Officers about 25 years ago. It was generated because we felt that correctional officers were not recognized as they should have been as providing public safety, being a part of the wider criminal justice community, law enforcement community, working behind the walls, unseen, but as some of the reasons for that, I suppose, but we wanted that kind of recognition. So we generated this week called National Correctional Officers Week. Several of the years through the 80s and into the early 90s, we would get resolutions and through Congress declaring the week as recognizing the week as National Correctional Officer Week. In the mid-90s, the House, when the new majority came in 94, early 95, they discontinued commemoratives and that type of thing. But the Senate, we still occasionally get resolutions. It's now been established enough over the last couple of decades that there's many, many states and locales, municipalities and local governments that do recognize the week and perform a lot of activities for recognition activities during that week or a certain day of the week. Just last weekend, we kicked off the week in Washington, D.C. with a memorial ceremony held in conjunction with the Washington Area Council of Governments at the Law Enforcement Memorial, commemorating those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice and died in the line of duty. And then we later in the had an awards luncheon where we recognized a National Correctional Officer of the Year and a National Supervisor of the Year, as well as several finalists in each of those two categories. So it was a good weekend, kicking off Correctional Officers Week, bringing about some more recognition and making a statement about the profession. This week, there's all kinds of activities occurring in different places, and some of them are very simple. There's a poster up recognizing the officers and sometimes correctional employees, some sort of merge recognition for all correctional employees into this week in some locales. Everything from punching cookies or whatever in a break room to full-blown picnics to, as was the case in Michigan here on Wednesday night, a few nights ago, a large banquet with the one of my hats. I'm a union leader as well. A big banquet that was held in conjunction with the Department of Corrections of Michigan and the labor union, the Michigan Corrections Organization, recognizing correctional officers generally and specifically a correctional officer from each institution in Michigan was recognized, and then there was a state correctional officer, big banquet. The governor attended, several dignitaries, legislators, and others attended as well, and there was about 300 people there, so we're pretty formal here in Michigan with events and that type of thing. And lastly, in addition, across the country, we requested and received many proclamations, declarations or proclamations from state governors across the nation. Many of them sent one in, which was appreciated as well, and they've proclaimed it Correctional Officer Week in their particular state. Sometimes we even have communities do it. I remember a few years ago, St. Louis, for instance, did a proclamation, their city council did a proclamation recognizing correctional officers and the work they do. So that's what we do for Correctional Officer Week, and its purpose, of course, is to bring about that recognition and to try to make sure that correctional officers and the very challenging job they do every day is recognized as contributing to protection of the communities and all they do in the criminal justice system.
Great. Now, what are the greatest concerns for corrections officers today working in prisons and jails or in community corrections?
Well, you know, it's a stressful job. It's a dangerous job. There's no two ways about it, that correctional officers work in a 100% hostile environment. And safety and security are the fundamental area of concern always for them. Their job, they're the police force in a prison. Their job is to protect each other, all staff within the walls, and the prisoners themselves from each other. And of course, ultimately, the community outside the walls as well. And for correctional officers, staffing is of utmost importance because staffing equates to safety. Excuse me. And safety is what we're concerned about. So when I look to a fundamental concern, it has to do with that. There's other issues and interests, of course, of correctional officers. We have pay is an issue in a lot of locales. We have areas where turnover, I believe, is very low, and in areas where pay and benefits are just and adequate for the type of job, a hellacious job that they do every day. And then you have other areas of the country where correctional officers aren't paid like they probably should be. And I think you see often tremendous turnover. In fact, I think in Texas, not too long ago, I was reading some articles about the legislature trying to increase the pay for the correctional officers because there was something like a 20 to 25% turnover. That's a horrendous turnover. The training costs, the consistency that has to take place with managing a population, a dangerous or population, is very important, and that kind of turnover is bad for a variety of reasons. So we are interested in pay. Now, I kind of go back and forth, I'll acknowledge that, between my union hat and my presidency hat in the International Association of Correctional Officers. The IACO is not a labor union. It's a professional association. I just happen to be very active in many correctional officer and law enforcement activities, and I become president of IACO some years ago. So IACO doesn't really go out and we don't bargain. We don't go out for anything like that. And we more or less are interested in upgrading the standards of correctional officers, bringing about recognition for correctional officers, and that type of thing. But my labor union hat still has to address the pay issue. And we think it's an important issue to attract and keep good correctional officers in these systems. And we think it's good for the employer as well, the government, in most cases, although there are private prisons out there. Frankly, we don't support private prisons. We're opposed to the concept philosophically, let alone dealing with some of the pay issues, but those are the concerns out there. Safety is of utmost importance, and then attracting and keeping good correctional officers that make it a career, learn about the system. That's it.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Mel Grieshaber, president of the International Association of Correctional Officers, about working in today's prisons and jails. Now, getting back to some of the issues that corrections officers face, what do you think corrections administrators can do to improve working conditions for officers?
Well, number one, they can support the bottom line, and I think in a lot of areas, a lot of administrators do. Some come from the ranks, and they have an appreciation. And then sometimes there's areas where correctional officers feel they could get more support from the administration. I've always felt that that when you look in the criminal justice community and the various aspects of it, it always seemed to me you have an impression that those that police forces, law enforcement out on the streets, seem to have more support from their administrators and those that are over them than the administrators give in corrections. Now, I don't know. Now, that's a criticism sometimes. Some think that they're all in law enforcement. We all circle the wagons and it's a closed community and nobody's going to get in and we don't tell anything and all that. I think that's less and less true every single day for a variety of reasons. But I do envy a little bit the law enforcement community and that impression, at least, that I have, that they have an identity and it goes from top to bottom. And in corrections, I don't think it's as pervasive as that, and I think we'd like that more, administrators supporting that. And having a greater appreciation in some cases about correctional officers being the bottom line, the fundamental last line of defense in their institution, and everybody's important in a correctional setting, every single person, but so I don't mean to imply otherwise, except that when it comes down to the fundamental operation, you have to give the tools to the correctional officers, you have to keep them safe by making sure that it's properly staffed, and giving them that support that they need in this stressful, dangerous job they do every day. So we'd like to see a little bit more of that kind of support.
Can you give some examples of changes or efforts that are working?
I think in some systems where you see an integration of the correctional officers, whether it's a unionized or non-unionized setting, that when they integrate the correctional officer into the system and on committees, I mean, giving them opportunities for real input, I think that helps. You know, everybody's heard these or have experienced these kind of nightmare stories through the years where, for instance, a new facility is completely built and then there's all these ideas that come up later because on lines of sight or technological opportunities that were missed because someone wasn't participating in the design committee. And those are kinds of things that I think correctional officers would give. There's a lot of opportunities. In fact, not just in the design, I'm giving a simple thing about operation and about facility design and how we do our job and what would make the place better and safer. Those are the kinds of things that would help by integrating the input and making it real, the input of correctional officers and the bottom line, the defense, those defending the place to be participate in those kinds of things. So I think we could see more of that.
Great. Finally, what is the biggest misconception about corrections officers and corrections in general?
Do we have a half hour here left? There's the obvious misconception that the movies and the little stories that you hear that we've been combating for years, not just correctional officers, but those that work in corrections generally, I think, have been battling this image that the movies and others have portrayed. Excuse me. We're goons, where everyone's looking at like there's this power structure in there that's the abuse that's going on and all this stuff, and it's just really, really the exception nowadays. I'll take my own system, which I'm proud of, Michigan. Michigan has, I mean, and partly this came from the International Association of Correctional Officers. Michigan has a requirement, it's right at the top of the nation, of 15 college credits required to become a correctional officer, a 4-month academy, 1-year probation, random drug testing as well as pre-employment drug testing. It's a very stringent criteria to become a Michigan correctional officer. And there's many other states that have criteria to attract good people for these types of hard jobs. And I mentioned IACO because IACO 20 years ago generated this standard saying that there should be 15 college credits required everywhere that met certain types of areas like history and corrections and managing people and everything else. So Michigan does that. In our system, we have cameras everywhere. We have supervisors everywhere. We have nowadays, and this is true across the country, prisoner advocates, legal advocates that are available to prisoners and for free in most cases. In Michigan's civil service system, there's opportunities for and avenues for prisoners. There's an ombudsman that can be called upon if necessary in a lot of states and locales. And that image of the correctional officer as goon is really wrong. Now, this is a walled system, and we always have to protect and make sure that protections are in place. And we don't oppose any of that kind of system. However, we think it's a misconception that prisoners do not have power, that prisoners have avenues to challenge the system, and that the image out there is that correctional officers in particular, but maybe all correctional employees, somehow are not professionals and doing what they need to be doing. And I submit that they are doing what they need to be doing, and that they are probably, by the everyday citizen, when you ask them or bring it to their attention to this question, that they are appreciated by the everyday citizen. Most citizens are say to you, I could never do that. My goodness, you don't have weapons inside the wall. You know, you've all heard the stories. And so those misconceptions are hard to get rid of. And we're dealing, as you know, we say correctional officers, the job is not just being a guard. Correctional officers have all kinds of duties now, and have been. The systems have been developing, and they will. It will increase throughout coming years and decades. And so it's hard getting rid of a 5,000-year-old image of the guard. And since, we can go back to the D.C. times, I mean, there were guards. And that's hard to get rid of, all those thousands of years of that kind of an image. But it just ain't the case today, if I may put it that way. So we want to be appreciated for what we do in behind the walls and protecting the public and each other, and that's what it's all about. That's our agenda.
Excellent. That concludes today's live talk. Thank you to Mel Griesaber, President of the International Association of Correctional Officers, for joining us today. To learn more about National Correctional Officers Week and officer safety, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com. For CCNN, I'm Megan Mandeville.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.